I'm in the booth, bro. Give me 5 minutes.
No Martin, no Luther, no King. No marching, no choirs, don't sing. The same Christian lovers that raped their grandmothers and hung our grandfathers from trees. They enemies, blood on the leaves, blood on the streets, blood on our feet. I'm sick of walking, sick of dogs getting sick on us. I'm barking, I'm sick of speaking, ringing sentences. Listeners, don't get, because they got chains on their brains, and that ain't no diss. Shout out to Tick.
Pump your black fist. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, broadcasting live right here in Los Angeles. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I want to get some feedback from the family tonight. We're going to take a lot of calls tonight and talk to the family. The number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. And as usual, we're going to take a very quick commercial break. And when we come back, we will be right on the phone, and we'll be right back right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
If you think you have a story that you must tell and sell, then let Prizecraft Editing put your dreams into writing. As self-publishing becomes the new norm for many authors, a lot of aspiring authors are not able to finish, polish, or publish their stories, and that's due to a lot of inexperience. But that's where Prizecraft comes in. They are not just capable of ghostwriting or editing your work, but they can coach you and critique you on your work as well. To begin your free consultation, contact Prizecraft at prizecraftediting.com or call them toll free at 863-417-8752. That's 863-417-8752. Check out this brand new independently black owned toy company called Apocalypse Toys. Now these toys are all original, they're all handcrafted, and the Apocalypse Toys is focused on providing black children with heroic black toys. It's very important that our children see themselves in heroic imagery to counteract all the negative images they're exposed to. So please place your orders right now. Visit ApocalypseToys.com. That's ApocalypseToyz, as in zebra, .com. Yo, what's up, fam? It is summertime. You need to have some fresh gear. Check out the Compass Manufacturing Company. They have all types of fly t-shirts, different colors, nice fabric, so you can look real fly for the breezies out there, family. So you need to go check them out right now. Go check out Compass Manufacturing Company at www.compassmfgco.com, and also follow them on Twitter and Instagram at compassmfgco.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You're going to hell, Sandra. Because you're a hoe.
All right, family, what's going on? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am Tariq Elite Nasheed. It is Wednesday, and we are live as we always are. Glad to have everybody tuning in. By the way, family, you know I'm going on tour starting next week. I will be in Boston July 15th. I will be in Milwaukee the following weekend. Let me see what date that is exactly, because there's some new dates added. And I'm going to be in... Hold on, let me get all this stuff together. I'm getting it together for y'all right now. We do everything on the fly. All right. So I'll be in Boston Friday, July 15th. I will be in Milwaukee Saturday, July 23rd. I will be in... Where am I going to be? Chicago, Sunday, July 24th. I will be in Atlanta, I think, the 21st or the 28th, and we're working on D.C. And the Atlanta and D.C. tickets and Chicago tickets will go up on sale in a couple of days. We're doing all this stuff. It's very short notice, so you got to get all your tickets very fast. But at TariqLive.com, you can get your Milwaukee tickets, you can get your Cleveland tickets, you can get your Boston tickets right now at TariqLive.com, and we'll have the links for the other cities where you can get your tickets. We'll have that in a couple of days, because y'all need to come out and see me live. Y'all need to come out and see me in person. We're going to turn these things into town hall meetings, because there's some serious conversations and strategizing, and that's what I consider myself, an anti-racism strategist. I don't like to use the leader term. I'm not nobody's leader, because I'm still in this prison system called white supremacy. And last night, as all of you should know by now, it's been all over the international media, there was a black man, a melanoid brother, down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, named Alton Sterling. Almost said Stewart for some reason, but Alton Sterling, and RIP to that brother. But this man was executed in cold blood by a couple of race soldiers down in Baton Rouge. I would say race soldier suspect, but one of the race soldiers has a history of shooting black people and getting disciplined for it, but I'll get on that in a minute. So I'm just going to say they're race soldiers, not even suspect. It's pretty damn confirmed that they're race soldiers, because I'm not hearing about these people shooting any white people down there. So if you're targeting a specific race of people, we're going to consider you a race soldier. So this brother, Alton, they said that he was selling CDs in front of a convenience store. The police was called, and there's conflicting stories. Some people are saying that there was a call that he was pointing a gun, but all the witnesses there said he wasn't pointing no gun at nobody, but he did have a gun in his pocket. And the race soldier showed up and immediately escalated the situation so they could justify executing him. And black people are going to have to understand how these race soldiers operate. These race soldiers are sitting out here. They're put out here for the sole purpose of coming up with ways to execute melanoid people with impunity. And we have this game that we're playing with the system of white supremacy. A lot of people are shocked. A lot of people are saddened, because the incident was caught on video. And if it wasn't caught on video, the race soldiers would have got away with lying. They tried to say that he tried to reach for a gun. They jumped on the brother, yelling out, "He got a gun, he got a gun." That's their thing. When they start yelling out stuff, "Stop resisting, stop resisting. You got a gun, he got a gun." So they were doing all this to justify executing this man in cold blood. And, you know, we see the same thing over and over again. We see so many melanoid people getting killed over and over and over again with impunity. It's almost like a broken record. And we act shocked. A lot of us act shocked every time it happens. We should stop being shocked. And as Neely Fuller said, we should come to expect it in a system of white supremacy. That's why, you know, a lot of black people are, you know, trying to gain sympathy from the dominant white society and white supremacist society. We should get off that. I'm not into the begging for sympathy thing. They know exactly what's happening. They could stop it tomorrow, but they don't. I don't believe in the whole flawed system concept, because whenever we point out all of these injustices and all of these situations where black people are getting executed by race soldiers, we get very deflective and dismissive retorts from those in the dominant society. We're told, well, what about black on black crime? That's kind of tired, so they can't keep using that anymore. They started that, or they got heavy with that during the Trayvon Martin situation. It was all about the what about black on black crime. So now that whole talking point is completely played out. Anybody who uses it at this point, we're pretty much aware that they're a white supremacist. So now they have a new talking point, which is, well, the system isn't perfect. You know, we shouldn't blame all cops. We shouldn't use this to demonize all cops, because the system isn't perfect. Now, you know how dismissive that is? Because that's a lie. The system is perfect for people classified as white. So miss me with that the system ain't perfect talk. The system works perfectly fine for people classified as white. The system of white supremacy is not flawed for people who want to practice white supremacy. It's working perfectly for them. And these race soldiers, they use the whole excuse that their body cams fell off. And that's why that whole body cam thing, I was rolling with that to a certain degree, but the problem is bigger than body cams. Because, look, we live in a system of white supremacy. The white supremacists, they can trump a body cam. It's all about I'm white and I say so. Because who's going to enforce them to wear the body cam? See, we got to understand this stuff. We got to start talking about who's enforcing what. And all of the sympathy that we're trying to parlay and trying to campaign for, we're looking for sympathy from other people in the dominant white society. And that's not working no more. That's why I focus on black folks and what are black people going to do. You know, this, my thing is never about catering or pandering to white society, and especially white supremacist society, to get them to see our plight and understand our plight. I'd never do that. When I debate these white supremacists and white supremacist suspects, that is for the purpose of teaching you the game, so that I can teach you how to counter the lies that they tell you. Also, I want you to understand the mindset of a white supremacist, because a lot of black folks don't seem to understand how deep they will go to lie, manipulate, and deceive in order to maintain the system of white supremacy. You don't live in any other system, family. You live in a system of white supremacy. I say this all the time. I say it until I'm blue in the face. I make movies about it. There's a reason why I do this. And Hidden Colors 4 is still number one, by the way. There's a reason it's been number one even before this whole thing. And in that movie, we gave you the commandments of white supremacy, the religion. This is a religion, and the religion requires them to make blood sacrifices of black people all the time. We talked about that in Hidden Colors 4, about how one of the rituals of white supremacy is harming black men, women, and children. They've always done that. This is not anything new. This is not anything unique. This is the system of white supremacy being the system of white supremacy. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number. I want the family to chime in. Let me get a couple of calls, because I'm going to still go a little deep, like my man Zoe Williams said. What's up? Who's calling?
King Flex. This is Jonathan from New Jersey. How you doing, brother?
Hey, John. How you doing, family? How are you?
Great, fam. I had a quick question. I'd like your thoughts on something.
Go ahead.
what do you think about the founding of all these new gender identities, you know, and what do you think about them trying to relate their struggle to us as African Americans?
They've always done that. They've always done things to minimize what has been done to us. That's just another form of white supremacy. The gay community, the gay white community, is just as racist as the straight white community.
Oh, yes.
They have the same number of white supremacists in that community. And we got to stop jumping in front of the bullet for them and campaigning for them and all these other groups. Because let me say this. Where are all the gay people and the gay rights groups now that this brother's been executed in
Good
cold
question.
Blood? Name me one gay rights group that's come out right now saying, hey, these officers should be arrested or something needs to be happening. I'm talking about not just them writing an email, because they'll do some little low-level shit like send an email and say, hey, look at what we wrote, an email to Congress, and shut up. When are y'all going to go hard for us like we go hard for you? That's why we need to stop this whole martyrism for everybody else, riding for everybody else, and we need to ride for us because we all we got. So damn all that stuff. Thank you for the call, brother. And another thing, speaking of these people latching onto our struggle, down there in Baton Rouge, that governor, that suspected white supremacist governor they have down there, y'all know he just passed that whole Blue Lives Matter law not too long ago. And that whole thing was setting it up so that these race soldiers can be protected. The governor down there said, hey, Blue Lives Matter, so let's have a law saying that hurting a police officer or a law enforcement official, that's a hate crime too. Just like harming a black person is a hate crime. So let's make a person's occupation, and if you harm a person in an occupation, that's going to be a hate crime too. You know how silly that is? I want you to think about that. You made a person's occupation capable of being considered a hate crime if you do something to somebody within that occupation. An occupation has nothing to do with the person's character. You have race soldiers out here pretending to be cops who don't deserve any kind of protection, but that's what they want to protect. I want y'all to see the Jedi mind trick that they're doing. That whole thing was to protect these race soldiers, so that when you have these dirty white supremacists pretending to be cops, now they're protected simply because they're categorized and occupied as cops, but they're not really cops. You're not a cop if you're executing people in cold blood. What you saw with these race soldiers shooting Alton Sterling was not police work. I want you to be very clear. That was not police work. There's nothing in the police manual that says you pin people down and you shoot them in the chest multiple times. That is not police work, and those are not police officers. Even the Constitution, that doesn't justify that, and they're supposed to take an oath to uphold the Constitution. See, I like to stick to law. See, I like to stick to the law. See, a lot of us, we need to really get into that Constitution thing and look into it. Because a lot of black folks say, we ain't got no constitutional rights. No, we got to look into that. Because we're punished by the Constitution, but we're not protected by the Constitution. So either we are or we're not. Now, we're not going to be protected, but we're going to get million-year sentences because of the Constitution. This is something that we need to have a national conversation about, and then we need to become sovereign. Either we are going to be protected by the Constitution, or we need to become sovereign, just like the Native Americans, because we cannot have it both ways. We cannot get punished to the fullest extent of the Constitution, but that same Constitution does not protect us from white supremacist race soldiers. These are the conversations we need to have. We need to stop the whole cliche going out there with signs. People hit me up like, are you coming to Baton Rouge, Tariq? For what? Unless we're going to strategize and do new things I'm not going down there to march in the streets, because all the only thing that's going to happen, I go down there and they bring the cameras down there, and all CNN and MSNBC and all these people are down there, and black folks are going to get out there and start twerking after a while. See, we got to take this thing seriously and take white supremacy seriously and not hop in front of a camera to shake ass every time some shit like this pops off. Let me get some more calls here. Got a lot to talk about tonight. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello, Mr. Nashi. This is Ashley calling from Michigan.
Hey, Ashley. How are you, dear?
I'm doing well. Such a pleasure to speak with you.
Yes, indeed. My pleasure. What's on your mind?
Well, I just had two things I just wanted to thank you for in particular. Just the talking points that you were advising us to go over when it came to any sort of discussion or debate we got into with the white supremacists.
Yes.
I just saw that demonstrated so eloquently earlier today. I was on Facebook and there was a comment about the incident that occurred.
Yes.
And there was a white supremacist coming on there trolling. And what you said as far as the talking points to corner them and to get them kind of caught in their lies.
Yes.
I could see that demonstrated.
What
there
happened?
There was a brother that came on there with straight facts, straight resources. I didn't respond because my resource game isn't that strong.
Yeah.
But he responded with nothing but the facts. And when he did that, shut that white supremacist straight down.
Oh, yeah.
So just wanted to thank you so much for giving us those talking points. They really help us get the point across. And just to say thank you for kind of giving us a precursor to what we are to look forward to. Because
yes,
when this incident occurred in particular, I'm not sure what was different about it for me, but there wasn't a feeling of shock. There wasn't a feeling of surprise. It was definitely a feeling of we need to spring into action.
Absolutely.
And me personally, I already have plans in motion to counteract this. Like you said, build an economic base.
Yes.
And I'm definitely working to do that on a personal level. And I just want to thank you so much for being so motivational and inspirational to us and being such a guide and a teacher. And I don't want to get emotional, I do, because I'm an emotional person.
Yes, ma'am.
But I just wanted to say thank you so much for all that you do, because truly it has definitely assisted us greatly in this fight.
Man, I appreciate you so much, beloved. Thank you so much, sister.
Have a wonderful night.
Yes, indeed. You know, family, I was debating with a white supremacist Trump supporter, and you can hear the debate on YouTube. I put it up on YouTube, and the reason I put it up is to show and to teach you the mindset of these people. Now, this guy was a redneck country, you know, Trump supporter. He was spewing out all the white supremacist talking points. He was trolling all on Twitter, because on the 4th of July, people were, you know, there was a lot of conversation going on about what happens in the legacy of white supremacy in America. So all the white supremacist trolls were just flooding everybody's timeline. And this guy challenged me to a debate, you know, and I handed his little ass to him. And a lot of people were talking about how stupid he was and how ridiculous he was. And they were like, oh, that was just a waste of time because he was just too stupid. And I told people, no, I want y'all to understand. Yes, he was stupid. Yes, he was saying dumb shit after I cornered him. And after a while, he started threatening me. But you got to understand, as stupid as he was, that type of white supremacist, these are the ones that, they're the supervisors at your job. These are the kind of white supremacists that's on jury duty when black folks go to court. And these are the kind of white supremacists that work as officers in cases like this Alton Sterling situation. Because this white supremacist guy, he tried to start off with deflection at first, because his whole thing was trying to argue me down that there wasn't anything, white supremacy was over. And he kept trying to go on and on about how white supremacy was over. And I was breaking him down, pointing it out. And every time I would corner him, he would start trying to deflect. Then I would bring him back from his deflections. And the white supremacists, they're all the same because they work through osmosis. The white supremacists are not unique at all. This is why when you understand the codes of the white supremacists, you can counter them better. Unfortunately, only a few of us know a lot of their codes, and I'm still learning some of their codes because I'm still learning how deep they go to maintain this system. They will do anything to maintain the system and to deny that the system exists. But the more I would corner this white supremacist and trip him up on his own words, the angrier he would get. See, first there's deflection, then there's denial, then there's deception. He started straight lying, talking about all the opportunity that black people have, and there's so many black Fortune 500 companies. I said, really? Well, name a black Fortune 500 company. You know, this fool said No Limit Records. This fool said No Limit Records by Master P. He was like, that's a multi-billion dollar label. I said, sir, no, it's not. Yes, it is. I mean, he really argued me down. Then he started talking about Beats by Dre. A black man did it. Ain't no white supremacy. A black man owns Beats by Dre. I said, man, you know, Apple owns that. No, it don't. Okay. Then he started going into the I'm white and I say so. And then after, I kept making him look stupid because after a while he realized how stupid I was making him sound. Then he started to just physically threaten me. Like, if you come down here, I got something for you, buddy. That type of talk. And I'm like, dude, stop it. You're a hillbilly meth head. You're not going to do nothing. Stop it. But that just showed white supremacy works like that. White supremacy works on deception, deflection, deceit, and then violence. And we saw all of that with our brother get executed by those two white supremacist suspects or race soldiers. They ran up on him, being deceptive, acting like he was going to pull out a gun, yelling, being deceptive and deflective, lying about their cameras being taken off, lying about the man resisting arrest, and then they killed him. But that's how the system works. The system is a deceptive system, and it's an evil system, and unfortunately, that's the dominant system. And us, as melanoid people, we have to figure out ways to counter that collectively. What's up? Who's calling?
This is Lawrence from Mississippi.
Lawrence from Mississippi. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I've been trying to get in touch with you for a long time, Tariq, man.
Go ahead.
So, man, just on the comment of this video here, man, I mean, this is just, you know, this is just another excuse in a long line of individuals. I was in the military, man. I did 5 years in the military, 2 tours to Iraq. And there's a procedure that we have, man, that's called escalation of force. And what we do is we use what they call the five S's. And the five S's stands for shout, show, shove, shoot. Shout, show, shove, show, and then shoot. Meaning that you go through those de-escalation protocols, and then if you can't deal with those protocols, then you would use excessive force. But I would have to tell you, man, that when we were in Iraq, we could not even jump that de-escalation force in order for us to be able to deal with the Iraqi citizens. But then you come back here in America, and these individuals, these police officers, these so-called cops, can just throw all of that out of the window, man.
Oh yeah.
And I've had to get rid of a lot of white guys that I was in the military with, who will sit there, man, and who will blindly follow. You know, they have this doctrine that they talk on, and it's, well, I got into it with a guy today, and he was just talking, and he said, well, in the video you can see he's clearly being aggressive. But it's a damn lie. You don't see that in the
exactly.
video. Well, I didn't see the video. Well, I didn't see that in the video. But, you know, we need to let it play through. But then why would you say something
exactly.
like that?
Exactly. That's that I'm white and I'm that's that I'm white and I say so. I'm white and I say he's being aggressive. How is he being aggressive? He's laying there pinned down. Well, that's he's
on the ground.
Yeah.
With a knee in the chest.
Yeah.
With a knee in the chest, subdued, There's no reason for you to pull out a gun. But again, this guy will get off. It's just like because I was telling black people earlier, too. And I'm from Mississippi, so you know that there's a lot of black Christians here. And I'm one of the ones, man, who I don't get down with the black Christian thing. My mother went to church, and I grew up around that. That's a conversation for another day. But I've had a conversation with a lot of the black Christians here, and they're so go-along, get-along here in this state. And I got into it with a girl today because she was like, well, we'll just let God pray. We'll just pray on it. And this, I said, you guys are sitting here, and you're always wanting to pray and wait for the afterlife while these people are doing things to you right now in the present.
Exactly. I blocked a Negro earlier. He's talking about, man, y'all out here trying to come up with ways to fight white supremacy. Man, I'm going to pray to the meta-netter. I'm like, click, nigga, block, block, block. I ain't about to hear none of that Hotep bullshit.
It makes no sense, man. Yeah. It makes no sense. And then you have the ignorance of the black people who talk about the black-on-black crime, which all races kill their own race at a high rate. But like black men, I was watching the Advice show, and Phil was talking about how, you know, the white men, they sexually assault more than any other race or any people. But we don't talk about that on TV, too. So then should we, as black men, go around and start pulling guns on white men because all of a sudden we think that they're going to rape our daughters?
Yeah, they can stop with that whole, well, what about black-on-black crime? How come? That's the crock of BS because, number one, I could care less about some idiot somewhere where I have no connections with doing a crime against somebody because that's not where I live. That's not my business. But I pay taxes for these people to work as race soldiers pulling executions. That's a problem.
Right.
I pay taxes for that. So that directly has something to do with me. Not some dusty-ass dude in a crack house somewhere. I could give less than a fuck about him. But I care about these people who my tax dollars go to, who I pay thousands of dollars in taxes to. I care about if they're executing people in the streets. That's my concern. And you let people know that. Stop. I ain't falling for that whole deflected what about black-on-black crime shit. Because if we're comparing criminals to so-called race soldiers and law enforcement, then we need to get rid of law enforcement in this country because it's not working. We have race soldiers out here, and we need to get sovereignty, or we're going to have to enforce this Constitution thing. All right.
But well, my comment to them was, hey, look, if you're not doing anything in your community to solve any of the problems that's going on with what you say is the crime, if you aren't helping kids, putting money in their pocket, you aren't doing anything in your community, then you need to shut the hell up because you're ignorant as hell.
Yes, indeed. Man, thank you so much for the call, fam.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Yes, sir. But yeah, family, we're going to have to stop doing the whole singing and marching thing. We should not be down there talking about we're going to have a peaceful march. Cut that shit out, man. That whole we're going to have a peaceful march thing, cut that out. You know, then, yeah. People like D. Ray and the people show up and he gonna show up with the blue vest on and you know, no, and I'm not shitting on nobody. I'm not trying to shit on nobody. But all that peaceful march and shit, all that pacifying stuff and all that, because that's easy. They'll send a bunch of Negroes down there, a bunch of fake white liberals to go down there marching with you, who could stop these race soldiers tomorrow if they wanted to. But they go do these little symbolic gestures along with you to pacify you because they know deep down black folks just want a hug from white folks. That's all it takes. They know how to de-escalate you very fast. They'll send a couple of hipsters down there with some Wu-Tang Clan t-shirts. They'll send a couple of hipsters and some white women down there, some liberals, some hippies. Coming down there, hugging you, singing with you, saying, oh, this is horrible. Oh, that's so bad, dude. Oh, you want to smoke some weed and talk about it, bro? You know, that's corny bullshit. Pacify the Negroes and everything goes back to normal. Those hipsters go back to their suburbs or wherever they're from, and the same thing keeps happening. They go back home and vote in more race soldiers. They go home and then send more money for them to execute your ass. Those are a bunch of distractions. And by the way, there was another brother up in New York. I think his name is Delron, something like that. There's another brother in New York who got shot by an off-duty cop, too. He got killed. But this Alton story has overshadowed that. I mean, this shit is crazy. Delron Dempsey, I think that's the brother's name. But pretty soon they're going to have the whole forgiving Negroes. They're going to parade them out on television. I'm surprised they haven't been out there yet. Let me see who's calling. What's up, who's calling?
Hi, this is Debbie from New York. How are you?
I'm good, Debbie. How are you, dear?
I'm fine. I'm just really disappointed about what happened.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was arguing with some, I know Nene Fuller calls them suspect white supremacists, but I'm just going to call them white supremacists.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to say, oh, but he had a record, he had this, he had that. I'm like, but when the cops went up on the scene, nobody knew he had a record.
Exactly.
Nobody knew he was a criminal. Nobody knew he was a felon. So you get that information after you sit down with somebody, get their information, and you run their information. So whether he had a record or not, they didn't know that when they rolled up on him and shot him. So all that is irrelevant. So I don't even understand what is... I'm just so tired of the deflection.
Yeah.
And just the denial. It's really making me not like white people. I mean,
My thing, when people start talking about he has a record, because they were doing that last night on Instagram and Twitter, and I kept asking people, because I stick to the law. I stick to the Constitution, because my thing is, don't cite one law and then ignore another one. People keep citing laws that had nothing to do with this case. Well, he had a record for sex with a minor. Okay, what did that have to do with this case? Well, he had a record for weed or drug possession in 2004. What does that have to do with this case? The law that
exactly.
does, what does have to do with this case is the constitutional violation that the cops made. Since we're talking about the law, what are you going to do about the cops violating this man's second, fourth, fifth, sixth, 13th, and 14th Amendments? They violated all of those rights.
And also, when people want to talk about the law, they have to also understand that in court, you can't even bring up people's prior records in court because that colludes the jury. So you're allowed to suppress certain information about someone's prior bad acts. So they can't even use that.
And that's the reason why they keep doing it in the media. See, the white supremacists work as groups. That's one thing we forget about. We think it's just about the cops. That's why I never use the term police brutality. It's the system of white supremacy. Part of the system are the race soldiers. Another part of the system are the prosecutors. Another part of the system is the media. People forget that the media works in conjunction with these race soldiers. That's why they keep putting the man's mugshot all on television. They keep talking about the prior record that has nothing to do with anything, so that potential jurors, especially grand jurors, they see this, they go to court and they say, oh, well, it was justified. That nigga had a record. So they know what they're doing. The white supremacists are very conniving with the way they do business.
And all those people celebrating Independence Day,
exactly.
y'all just have egg on your face because obviously we're not citizens of this country.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We need to get real public about that. Either we're citizens or we're not. Now, if we're not citizens, we do not need to be punished by the Constitution. That's a conversation that we need to have nationally. If we are not really citizens, why are we being flooded into the prison system by your Constitution that does not protect us? We need to be sovereign. That's the conversation we need to really have. Thank you for the call, sister.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Oh, yeah, we got to get real serious, man. Let me see who else is on the phone. What's up, family? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq, this is Terry out of Austin.
Hey, how you doing, Terry?
Hey, I'm doing good, brother. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Man, I'm just very, very frustrated at this point, man. I'm like, what do we do to stop these people from just doing what they're doing? And most likely these cops are going to walk away.
Yeah.
You know, they're already on paid administrative leave already.
Yeah. And another thing, the fact that they haven't been arrested already, that's already a bad sign. The fact that they have not been, they should have been arrested by now. They should have been arrested by that. When it comes to the race soldiers, all of a sudden we got to do a long investigation. We got the DOJ is going to look into it. We're going to go and check and see and find and look and search and ask. Now it's a whole drawn out process. There were two black police officers who shot a white kid last year. It wasn't no investigation, no Blue Lives Matter. They threw them brothers in jail so damn fast, no questions asked. So they're protecting them already. But go ahead, brother.
Oh, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm saying the same thing, because like everybody else that's probably on the line and waiting and everything has been debating with white folks all day on Facebook about this stuff. And what's so funny to me is they're so quick to dig out this brother's past, put his mugshot out there and all this other stuff, but yet they have not dug up the officer's past or officers and what they've done up to this point.
Yeah.
You know, they're quick to throw mud and destroy character, assassinate, because that's what they always do. They always assassinate the person's character, devaluate them, and then it's easier for them to be dehumanized and considered less than human in a sense. And, you know, it's easy to justify their murder at this point, because now he's not even human.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And, you know, unfortunately, man, it looks like they're going to work. The race soldiers are going to work behind the scenes to make sure that these guys get off the Department of Justice, the Department of Jigaboos, because they got jigaboos in whose puppets who do the bidding of the white supremacists. They got token jigaboos up there in the Department of Justice who are powerless. They have to do the bidding of their white supremacist supporters. So they're going to do the whole horse and pony show and not do nothing. So they're already dragging ass. So they should have arrested these race soldiers already. Speaking of the past, one of the race soldiers, Howie Lake, in 2014, he was disciplined for shooting another black man. So this guy, one of the race soldiers, has a history of shooting black folks unjustly. So they put these race soldiers out there on the streets deliberately. They know what they're going to do. We live in a Nazi system right now. Black folks are going to have to stop playing with that.
Man, say it again. You know, I don't think we really, really get it.
No.
How bad the system is getting. I mean, the Fourth Amendment was just gutted like not even a week ago. We up here talking about how LeBron came back in Game 7. And the Fourth Amendment just got gutted. Dude, they can just walk up on anybody now.
Man.
If you got a warrant. And they can just go through everything you got and plain evidence, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And not only was the Second Amendment was violated, and by the way, where's the NRA? Where is the damn NRA? A couple of weeks ago when the dude, Oscar Mateo, whatever the fuck his name is, the guy down in Florida, what was his name? What was his name? Chat room, what was the guy's name? The guy who shot up the club out there? When they were talking about gun issues, the NRA was all over the place. Oh, they were yelling and screaming. They were everywhere. Take your hand off our guns. You can't take our guns. Y'all won't take our guns. And now, in this case, this guy was shot for having a gun. And they didn't know if the gun was legal, illegal, if he had a felony. They didn't know anything. They shot this dude simply for having a gun, not knowing his background or anything. That's a clear violation.
But Louisiana's an open carry state, though.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
He didn't have to. And you don't have to have that thing. Like, it's not like it's here in Texas. You got to be registered, all this other bullshit. Louisiana's one of those states where you can have that on you automatically.
Yeah.
So they just went about it all wrong.
Yeah, and that opens. Look, Ohio's an open carry state, too. And look what they did to Tamir Rice.
You know it.
See, black folks got this thing where we think that these white supremacists use these certain laws, and then when we do certain things, it's cool. The white supremacy supersedes that, but that's absolutely correct. It's open carry out there. You could have a gun out there in Louisiana, and they violated the Second Amendment. And the NRA, who's always talking about tyranny, big government, especially the Alex Joneses of the world. Where's Alex Jones? Because Alex Jones, oh my
God. Right here in Austin, chilling.
Oh, yeah. You're out there with his little racist ass. And black folks, and I get on black folks all the time for following that damn Alex Jones. Y'all stop falling for that whole conspiracy bullshit. Because they always talk about big government and all that. Because big government stops them from practicing white supremacy in their mind. all that, the Bilderbergers, the Bilderberger Group, the Trilateral Commission, the big government. You know, we got to fight against tyranny. We need militia groups. You know, Clyde and Bundy. You know, we got to stand up and resist.
Don't forget they were out there beating people up in the park singing Beyonce.
The people out here beating up people singing Beyonce. You know, they're doing the Dougie. You know, out here doing the Millie Rock and killing people and killing whites. And the tyranny. We got to stand up to them. We got to stand up and resist. But when you say, hey, man, this brother. Eric Garner got killed. Alton, he got killed, and his rights were taken away. What about that? Well, he shouldn't resist it. Whoa! Not what?
Whoa!
Now he shouldn't resist? Your whole spiel is about how you should resist,
right?
The Oath Keepers, all of these militia groups, they sit up and point their guns at the government for months at a damn time, resisting tyranny, resisting big government. But when it comes to black folks, do what you're told. Don't resist.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same bullshit they did with the Bundy Ranch out there. You know, them cats had guns pointed at the FBI, and nobody got shot.
Exactly.
Had that been some black folks,
yeah,
we'd have been dead. Like, I'm from Philly, and I was there when he dropped the bomb on the MOVE members back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy, brother. I appreciate it. I ain't going to hold you up. I know other people trying to get on, man.
Thank you for the call, brother. Time. Thank you so much. Yes, indeed. Somebody got a link of Alex Jones. Yo, let me see what it says on Alex Jones. Let me see what Alex Jones is talking about. Well, they just put up something. Reports indicate was not prevented. Do you think shooting was justified? Okay, it's somebody on his site. And that's another thing. Don't let them fool you with that whole felon shit. Don't let them white supremacists start talking that, I'm a gun rights activist, but if you're a felon, no. Bullshit. I'm telling you now, that's a crock of bullshit, because the NRA and all of those militia groups, they got all types of loopholes that they have for their white supremacist buddies who have felonies to get guns. Look up, Google Guns for Felons Program NRA. Google Guns for Felons Program NRA. The NRA, they got all types of loopholes for white folks who got felonies so they can get guns. And some of those gun shows that they have, these little secret gun shows all over the place, felons can come in there and get guns. They got all types of loopholes. Don't let them run that whole game on you. Don't let them run that all felons shouldn't have a gun bullshit. Do not let them run that on you. The NRA is quiet for a reason, because the NRA is about maintaining white supremacy. It ain't about gun rights. See, we got this thing where we think that these groups are advocates of some of the shit they say they're advocates for, but when you peel the layers back, they're all about advocating for white supremacy. Like these Oath Keepers. I was debating with one of them the other day. He was like, he's so pro-Constitution. Then I start breaking constitutional law down to his ass and showing the contradictions. Like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna fucking block you, dude. You better block me, motherfucker. Yeah, you better block me, because I started hitting his ass with the constitutional law. See, the thing is, they assume, and rightfully, that a lot of us don't understand none of the laws and the Constitution. So they run that Constitution law game on us. But those of us who do know something about the law, we can shut that shit down real quick, and then they back up. Because the only law is white supremacy, and that law is backed up by I'm white and I say so. Because with this case, you can't justify anything. You clearly see this man being pinned down, Alton Stewart pinned down, being shot point blank range in the chest, wasn't resisting anything. But the white supremacists say, well, yes, he was resisting. What you mean he was resisting? He's laying there being pinned down. As a matter of fact, he said he couldn't breathe. So how is he resisting? Well, he's resisting because I say he's resisting. I'm white and I say so. That's what it really boils down to. It always boils down to I'm white and I say so. I'm white and I say Trayvon Martin beat up George Zimmerman within inches of his life. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm white and I say it happened. I say that Mike Brown got shot 8 times because the first bullet made him run to the gun and try to grab it. And the second and third bullet made him run faster to the gun. The fourth and fifth bullet made him beat up Darren Wilson. And the last few bullets killed him. And when you say that don't even sound remotely plausible, that sounds like it just defies physics. No, it doesn't, because I'm white and I say so. But there are dozens of witnesses who say the exact opposite. Oh, really? What witnesses? All those black people. A bunch of black people said it? Well, guess what? It only takes one white person to say they're lying, and that white person is me, and I'm white and I say so. Eric Garner got killed on video. Well, I'm white and I say he was resisting and he died because of a heart attack. Yeah, I'm white and I say so. I know it don't make sense, but I made it make sense because I'm white and I say so. And you blacks can't do anything about it. And that's what it boils down to, family. The white supremacists say, I'm white, I say so, and you blacks can't do nothing about it. See, that's where we got to get to the doing part. See, we got to stop trying to beg them to see our point of view. They know our point of view under them. You got to get to the doing part. You got to have an enforcement mechanism where you can protect yourself and your group. The problem is, when it comes time to get that code of conduct with other black folks, we get the, well, all white people ain't bad. The coon train starts chugging along. I saw a case, not a case, but a story the other day where there's a plantation somewhere. These descendants of these plantation members, the slave owner and his slaves, their descendants met up with each other recently. They still have the plantation property. And the descendants of the slaves and the descendants of the slave owners, because they're somehow related, they hooked up for like a family meal or something. And they're taking pictures on this plantation, and it looks so disturbing. And the Negroes are sitting around here eating with these people. It looked like they want to go back to the plantation. And deep down, a lot of black people wouldn't have no problem going back to antebellum slavery, where you're picking cotton in the back of somebody's house, if we're going to be very honest. Because the white supremacists, they would love nothing more than that. They already have it to a certain degree in the prison system, but they want it in all society. They don't want to have to go through a whole prison system and all that. They want to have it where it's normalized, where black people are on the plantation. Just like with Clive and Bundy. We're talking about Clive and Bundy. Y'all remember Clive and Bundy after the first time when they backed the government down. He was like, well, you know, let me tell you about the Negro. You know, slavery wasn't really that bad now, was it? If it was up to me, you know, I think they're better off on a plantation. You know, they have food. And he was saying shit like that. That's how they think. Black folks play games with this. That's why I want y'all to listen to that debate I had with that white supremacist. I know he's illogical. I know he's stupid. I know he sounds ridiculous. But most white supremacists think like that. There's no logic in white supremacy. There's no logic in white supremacy. It's extremely illogical. But unfortunately, that illogical system dominates us who are classified as non-white. Let's see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, Tariq?
Hey, who's this?
This is Jay, man. Jay from ATL.
Jay from
ATL. I'm actually from Louisiana, right outside of Baton Rouge, so I know how that is set up.
Yes, indeed. And you know, also, and let me say this about Louisiana. Yeah. And another thing, man, because they got those race soldiers down there. They got these cops that will openly threaten black folks. We did a story on Melanoid Nation about this white supremacist cop down there in Louisiana openly threatening black people. Understand, during Hurricane Katrina, you had them white supremacists hunting black folks down. So black folks down in Louisiana in particular, y'all need to really be on code, because these white supremacists can't wait for an opportunity to start going after you down there and all over. I'm not even putting it just down there, out here too. I ain't safe out here either. But down there, they're really ready to go. But go ahead, fam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true indeed, man. I totally agree, because they set you up, man. Throw dope in your car, put guns on you. You know, we just actually, where I'm from, there's been four murders within the last 2 days. So they've been finding bodies all over. But, you know, that's just how it goes there. But out here in Atlanta, man, the thing is the reason why I was calling in was, is that I worked in the gun industry and working with these different companies and working with Smith and Wesson and Glock and different things and the merchant, the distributors and different things of nature. And also too, working with the APD, Atlanta Police Department, and other departments. And, we do the training for them. We used to do the training for them or not, but people now understand when I have like a conversation with or whatever, I try to tell them, man, you must train people, especially our people, is basically purchasing guns and stop going to these gun shows. That's first and most. Because when you go into these gun shows, they're upping the prices $300, $200, $300 more than what the value is for the gun.
Oh, wow.
Then they're giving us the piece of shit guns. And how they do with the police departments, and, I hope all the listeners and yourself, whatever, everybody's listening, is that when you go into these gun shows, half of these guns are committed, taken from evidence and sold. And how they do it is, if say if somebody breaks into your car, break into your house, or you get someone get charged with, say, you know, just a charge for the gun possession and whatnot. What they'll do is they'll take that gun, put into evidence. Now they'll go fire this gun off and blow everything, pieces and parts about it. Once they get done with it and everything for the cases get passed through and that person get locked up, get their time, their gun is free to go back. So what they'll do is they're taking and sell it and go take it to the pawn shop. They'll take it to the gun stores, and these gun stores will take it to the gun shows. And therefore, you're getting guns, and people are not, you know, understanding these things. Now you're paying for a gun that's actually worth $80.
Yeah.
You're paying $500, $600 for
it. Wow.
So it's a lot of things that goes on. Also, too, these officers are not, they do not know the law. That's, everybody keeps thinking like, oh, well, you know, they're this because they have a badge. They do not know the law. So take anything that an officer tells you, take it with a grain of salt. Do not believe 20% of what they're telling, because they're going to tell you a lot of BS.
Yeah.
And this is from, you know, this is from the inside of it. Learning how to shoot is a must. So going to shoot, learning how to correctly shoot, how to train different things, that is a must. Because our people, I get a lot of people that will come to us, whatever, me and a partner, whatever, and they're just, oh, I want a gun. And then it's like, okay, cool, but are you ready to kill? And they don't understand that a lot of people are ready to go get guns, but I tell them, once you get a gun, that's one simple thing. But then are you ready to pull that trigger and take a life? And that's when everything changes.
Yeah.
And then people, you'll find out that people are not ready for that stuff. Now, I've actually gotten out of that business, out of the industry, but I still deal with it, dibbling down with it here and there, whatever, with our people.
Right.
But now I'm in the banking system, and it's all tied together from the police department to the banking system to the politics, and everything follows all the way up. So it's very important that we basically put our money into finding a black bank that is not, you know, FDIC that's running, because FDIC is basically just saying, we funded your money, we control everything. And what the banking system does is that every deposit that we make or withdraw that we make, they track every single dollar.
Okay.
Every transaction that we make with our debit cards, they track it.
So let me ask you this. So if it's not FDIC backed, how do people feel secure with their money, you know, just in case there's a problem with the bank?
Okay. The important, that's why I say importance of getting with a black bank that's actually for your community. Because how it is to say, I was reading an article, listening to someone, where it's basically saying, take $100 and you give it everybody. Say you get 100 people, then give $100 to this one black bank.
Right. We talked about that.
That blank is.
Uh huh. We talked about that in Hidden Colors 4, by the way. Go ahead.
Correct. So you fund that, and then they'd be able to. It's all based off of deposits. This is how the banking system works. It's based off of how many deposits they get. based on the number of deposits they get, it's basically based on how many mortgages they can be able to lend out. So if a person in the community wants to get a mortgage, then they just come to that bank. They have enough funding and enough deposits to keep funding these things to give these money, the money out.
But don't all banks have to be FDIC backed?
No.
Okay.
That's what they try to tell us.
Okay.
That's what, when it get into the bankings, whatever, that's what they try to tell us, and that's what we do not understand. Every single day, we, and this is another thing that we have a fake thought about, is that these white people have money.
Yeah.
They do not.
That's true.
They do not have any money. They're the worst spenders in the world. They do not manage money correctly. These people money launder money all day long. And how they get us in the mindset is, oh, we look at things and say, oh, man, we've got them joints come out. We try to look fly. We try to put all this style on. We try to get this. We try to get the flyest car. We try to do all these things, trying to keep up with them. But they are the reason why they're dressing the way they are and carrying themselves the way they are, is because they don't have the funds. What they do, the trick is how they do it, is they'll create a business account. Mm-hmm. And what they'll do is they'll fund everything through the business account. So what they'll do is they say, like, if they say, oh, well, I'm just going to give you a deal, you know, just give me cash. I won't charge anything. Just write a check or money order, or just give me cash, whatever. They take that funding and they go through the bank and they deposit that. Once it goes into the deposit and they deposit it to the bank, then they come back and they withdraw it or they transfer it. Where their money is going is into a savings or a money market account or a Roth IRA.
Okay.
Reason for the Roth IRA is because it's already taxed. Once you get taxed first, so therefore if you want to withdraw, you can withdraw what you want and don't get penalized. What we are taught as black people, when I get a lot of clients that come in, they want a traditional. Which is a tradition, you can put the money in, but you're going to get taxed.
Right.
They depend on how much money that you're getting. You're going to get those things, and it's going to go, you know, you're going to get taxed from that point on. Once you try to take it out, you're going to get penalized.
Okay.
But when you have a Roth IRA, you get taxed ahead of time. So what they're basically saying is they're paying the taxes on this money, but they're not getting hard. They're not getting a heavy penalty
right.
at all. So then the rest of the time, they put the money in there, and then they fund it to a money market account. The rest of their accounts are basically shit zero, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They may have $1,000, $2,000 at the max. That's
yeah.
it. But then when they get into saying that they want to get a house or they want to get certain things as loans and certain forth, they have that track record of saying that they have a business, and then everything is what they call an OFAX. OFAX is anytime, say, if yourself, that say if you sold 20 shirts and you made $5,000 off of it. It automatically runs it through OFAX.
Okay.
What the banking system does in these banks, Chase, Wells Fargo, all these big banks, even your small community banks, they do not put those things through OFAX, which means is that their money is going into that account, which is supposed to go through the federal government, the Federal Reserve first, which they track everything that goes in. So they track all your transactions.
Yeah.
They do not run it through that. So what they do is they deposit the money into it. They build a relationship with the banks. They deposit money into it, but it doesn't go through OFAC. So when they're taking the money out, that's it. Because now when you get a black person that comes in or a person of our color, we go in and we deposit $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. It goes through OFAC. They put a hold onto your money.
Oh, okay.
Now what they're doing is they're putting a hold onto your money. They're waiting to see, okay, where is he getting his money from? So now they're running through all your transactions. They're running through all your credits. They're running through all your stuff. That's why you have a hold on your money. So they're running through all of these things to see where you're getting this kind of money from. And if it's any little thing that they feel, okay, you know what, we don't trust this. So now they're saying, well, we have a hold on this money that you deposit, regardless if it's check or it's cash. Now you have to come up with the receipts and you have to show evidence to it. If you cannot show that, they would lock that whole account down.
Damn.
They would give you a certain period of time to, you know, present the actual documents to prove this is your money and where did you get it from. And if you cannot prove anything, any little slight thing that's off, it doesn't matter if you got documents from 2000 to where it is now and you haven't missed one day, you've been filing everything on a point. If any one number or anything that's one digit off or or anything, they're going to close the whole thing. They're going to freeze your account. And damn, where that money goes, straight to the bank and straight to the Federal Reserve.
God damn. Wow, man.
It's and all of these things are funded straight down. Now, even with the police and different things, the banks are the ones that's funding the politicians. And the politicians are the ones who are in cahoots with the police department.
Yes.
So, and I've also used to work at the poll growing up or whatever, since I was 18. Your votes do not count at all. It's your local votes that count.
Yes.
So when we're going to vote and going to the voting point and busting down trying to get to the voting poll to say, oh, well, you know, I don't want Trump to get in there. Trump don't mean shit. Hillary don't mean shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's, they don't have any play in it. Who you control is basically controlling the police departments or your senators, your mayors, and your city councilmen.
Absolutely.
Those who are in control. If we can get those people under control and start buying into them, then they control the police departments. But we also have to be careful because the people that we have now, that's the black chiefs and the chief of police and the sheriffs and different things, they are just as worse as
Because the white supremacists,
exactly,
put them in office. They're put in by the white supremacists. We got to watch them black,
exactly,
faces. Yes,
exactly.
These Ken
Thompsons. They're going, and these people are secretly, you know, going to the, they have several meetings throughout. The meetings that they're going to, you have your fire chief there, you have your sheriff there, you have your chief of police there, you have all these people who's actually on boards with different banks, which give them the funding. Then the banks are watching your money. Then they have to report to the Federal Reserve. So they keep a record of every single thing that you do. Then once the Federal Reserve, they do what? They control the government and they control the military.
Mm.
And that's where the fundings go. So that's why the banking system is very important to mainly that you control. So if we can get control of a banking system, the control of politicians, our city councilmen and mayors and senators and different things, that can change a whole lot. Because then once you get people into certain areas to be able to control and monitor your areas and say, okay, well, man, we're in the hood, but these people driving up and all down, you know, our streets all day, putting us up on cars, killing us and doing all this. If you control the people who can put these people in the office and put the people on the force, and then you control a bank, then that is your economy, because now you have money flowing back and forth.
Yes, indeed.
Now you have the way they can be able to give you a loan, a business loan. Then they can be able to give you a mortgage to be able to get a house. Then therefore you can keep funding money back and forth into your economy and then your circle, and therefore you're building your economy up. Therefore you don't have to worry about going and say, I don't have a job, or I got to sell dope, or I got to do these things. But then also, too, you build in with the training of yourself of learning how to shoot and be able to learn more about, you know, ammunition and guns and different things. You're creating your own army.
Absolutely.
So therefore, these are the things that the Black Panthers was teaching, was saying, we're going to teach these people how to shoot and bear arms. But also, too, we're going to teach them how to be able to feed each other and be able to clothe one another and educate one another. But the only thing we just didn't have was a banking system to be able to give us the funds to do what? It's to buy homes.
Yes.
But once we do that, then what else can stop us?
Yes, indeed.
Because now we don't have to worry about certain laws, because we control our own circle, whatever. We control our own politicians. We control these things. And therefore, we can go far from there.
Yes, indeed. Now let's we talk about a bank. And if it's not insured, now what stops some, you know, slick-talking dude who says, hey, I'll start a bank. And he talks everybody into putting some money in the bank. Then this dude get the money and trick it off. So,
well, the thing is this: the insurance is only covered if say somebody comes and robs the bank.
Okay.
If somebody comes and robs the bank, then that's it. That money that's been taken is going to be replaced. That's why the banks never really do anything. They're just going after whoever it is.
Okay.
Now, if you ever notice, when you have white bank robbers, it takes them shit long of time to really just find out who that person is or try to track them down.
Right.
But when you have a black person that's robbing a bank, he's caught within a couple of weeks.
Shit,
then the amount that these banks don't really hold that much amount of money, especially community banks and Chase and different things, they don't hold that much money in these banks. So when they're saying, oh, they took over $1 million, that's a lie.
Yeah, they put
that's straight line.
On, yeah.
They don't.
just like so, somebody get robbed and like, oh man, they took a $15,000 watch out my house. Oh Lord. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's just, you know, it's, you know, our people. But when I do, since I'm in Atlanta now, and I do try to talk to some of these people, that are supposedly supposed to be for Black Power and supposed to be building and different things in nature, they get mad for the things that I tell them. And I'm not saying I got all the answers, but at the end of the day, it's just an insider. If you got a person that could be able to, they trust, and that's nothing. Us people, we keep. I see a lot on Twitter. I see a lot on Instagram. I see a lot on Facebook and these social medias. We keep letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like we have to be silent. Because, see, they'll be trusting. Like, in the industry, when I was working in the gun industry, these people, all police officers, FBI agents, ATF, all these people, the people that we think that are agents and how they look and how they think, that is the wrong type of person. It's this scrawny white dude that looks like he's out of, as if he's look like he fits in the place, but he's not really nothing. Somebody that you wouldn't even notice that was in the room.
Mm.
That's your agent.
Oh, yeah.
And they, when I say that, strictly who they are race soldiers, or strictly that, because that are their strong beliefs. They believe this. They are buying. One of our customers, and this is why another importance, they are afraid of us. So us being afraid and being like the situation with, you know, Anton, is the fact that they are afraid. Their life, their whole existence is afraid of us just standing there.
Man, let me ask you. Let me ask you this. Huh? Let's say we want to start a bank. Like, okay, you and I, mm-hmm. and some other people, we want to start a bank right now. We're just going to start a bank. Now, what were the first steps that we need to do?
First, you have to acquire the paperwork. That's the hardest part. It's basically is getting the paperwork and getting filing, getting approved. Because there's been people that have tried to get certain banks and certain credit unions started, especially it's been a few in Louisiana. They had a few people that it was LA Capital Credit Union.
Okay.
And it was another one. They're not black owned, but they had the backing. They was going to back them to branch off. But the problem comes in is once we get the paperwork, we get it filed, we just can't get it past those people once it gets to the government, and these people they're the proofs.
Now who are these people who have to approve it?
You still got to go through the government. You still got to go through, give me 1 second, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Because that's the thing, we always got to keep the white supremacists in mind. There's some white supremacists that we got to go through. Always look at that whenever we got to do something.
Exactly, and that's who's approving.
Yeah.
That's who's doing approving. Because, again, even we may have a person that's our color, but inside, like, you know, like the old saying, you know, it's an Oreo. You may be the same color of us, but it's inside, it's the basis is different. He has a white ideology. It's mind thinking.
Yes, indeed. And we can chop up game. But I need you to email me so we can really chop up some game. Let me ask you another last question about the gun thing. So what's mm-hmm. a place if black folks, let's say they might have a criminal record, but they still want to, are there loopholes for black folks to get weapons? Or if black folks want to get a weapon and they don't have a criminal record, and they don't want to go through, you know, because a lot of gun shops, they will not give you a gun even if your record is clean, because they have this clause where it's at the discretion of the gun shop seller whether or not they can give you the gun in certain cases. So where is a good place that black people can practice their Second Amendment rights and get weapons?
Basically, the first thing, and this is the utmost first thing, whenever you're going for a gun, you got to understand, you're going to a white establishment.
Mm-hmm.
They are judging you from the door. They're already doubting you, but they cannot stop you. By legally, they cannot stop you. Now, they can say, well, we're not going to sell your gun. The only reason why they're going to turn you away and not sell your gun is if, based on how you look, because they already expect to say, oh, that's a thug, this is this, whatever. Then, once they call it in to the ATF to get everything approval, must know your guns.
Yeah.
You must know your guns. That is, before you go purchase a gun, Cobras and all this extra shit, they're going to sell you the bullshittest gun. They're going to give you, point you in the direction, the cheapest gun, this and this. Do not come in buying High Points. I'm going to tell you flat out black. I don't know how many High Point guns that's out there. They're going to jam on you. They're not going to work.
Mm.
If you're not a shooter. It works off a totally different system. The best thing to do is most people like semi-autos, which is basically like your Glocks looking type of guns, your Smiths, whatever. But the best one to have is always going to be a revolver. Anytime that you go, because number one, revolver is going to have less mechanics that you got to work with. So therefore, if any problems that happens with the gun, it's easy to fix and the parts are cheaper. And it lasts over years. We would get guns from Smith & Wesson from 1932 that will shoot like a champion, but I'll blow a Glock any day.
Okay.
But that's sort of some of the things. But to get to those things, first and foremost, like I say, is just going into the establishment. Make sure you are clean up. Pants, and I know it doesn't matter if your pants sagging or not, that you're going to be judged, you're going to be judged. But that is very important when you're going in.
No doubt.
They're already looking at the situation. Because when you're walking into the establishment, you, again, the appearance of the people that you think are not agents and just regular shoppers, those are your ATF, your CIAs, your FBIs, and your local police officers that are looking dead at you, and they are memorizing who you are.
Okay.
Once those shop owners are giving your information to them, based off your looks going into the shop foremost. So when you run your stuff through and they say, oh, well, you was approved, you go and you purchase your gun. After that, they're saying, well, who is this kid, this and this? They're looking at your information and saying, oh, he lives in this area? Oh, I know this officer that works over here. So they're calling your information in.
Okay. All right, brother. Okay, that's a lot to, we're going to eat that, man. There's a lot to soak up. Real good game. And I want you to email me because we need to chop up some game about, you know, what we need to do to get these banks popping and get these credit unions popping, because that's something that I'm definitely interested in. So email me, man. My email is info@tariqelite.com, or you can email me at kflexforlife, and that's number four, kflex, the number four, life@yahoo.com. All right?
All right, bet, man. Appreciate it.
Much respect. Thanks for the call, brother.
All right.
Man, my man was dropping heat on that one. My man was dropping mad heat on that one. There's another shooting. I'm trying to get the link to this thing. Hold on. I'm trying to post the link to this. There was another shooting somewhere down in Minnesota. Is it Minnesota or Milwaukee? Let me see. I'm trying to get this damn link. Hold on, family, because there's somebody just sent me something about a shooting. Hold on one second. And I'm trying to get the link. I'm trying to. Hold on. Y'all bear with me for one second. Y'all bear with me because there's some situation in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, where somebody, a black person, appears to have gotten shot. And I want to see, why is this thing not letting me post the goddamn link? Okay. Let me get a call while I'm trying to post this link. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. And I'm going to play the audio of this link. I just emailed it to myself because I'm working with a couple of different computers here. Let me do this. And I don't know when this happened. Somebody in the chat room posted this link. And I'm about to play the link. If I get this thing to load up. Y'all bear with me one second, family. What is this? Okay. I'm having technical difficulty. Let me get a call while I'm doing this real quick. What's up? Who's calling?
Hi, Tariq. This is Sophia.
Hey, Sophie.
From,
how are
Cleveland.
You? Hey, Sophie. What's going on, dear?
I seen the viewing for the Hidden Colors 4. It was awesome.
Thank you so much, sister.
Yes. Now, I feel that because Zimmerman and Darren Wilson is still walking around, I think that the race soldiers thought that was a go-ahead. Okay. I don't know why they haven't been sacrificed yet.
Yeah, they're being protected. They're definitely being protected by other people in the dominant white society. And, you know, they're heroes in white supremacist society.
But if Zimmerman would have been taken out, I feel that it wouldn't have been as many deaths. It's like they're just doing this in our face. Like, it's almost like the 1930s.
Oh, yeah, it's worse. It's worse. Yeah, it's just it's the same thing.
You know, where's all our hood niggas? Where's all our thugs for life?
Yeah.
Let's take one for the team.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, where are all the gangsters and the all rah-rah dudes? And all
exactly.
The,
yeah. Where they running up in people's houses, killing them in front of their kids and their mamas. Yeah. Where are these people at?
Exactly.
Because it's about that time. We need a code of conduct, and their code should be, let's go out here and take one for the team. You're going to go to jail anyway, so go out with a bang.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you for the call, sister. I got to play this clip. Okay, now let me, this is an audio from a shooting. Let me turn my music down. I haven't even heard this. And somebody showed me the link. This was a cop, a white cop shooting a black guy. I'm looking at the screenshot. This guy's all bloodied up. He's in the car with the black sister. And let me hear what it sounds like.
Stay with me. We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back. And the police just, he's covered. They killed my boyfriend. He's licensed. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket, and he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet, and the officer just shot him in his arm. Good We're Lord. Waiting for a back. I will, sir. No worries. I will.
Fuck!
He just shot his arm off.
God damn.
We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand off it.
You told him to get his...
Look, you hear this? This just happened. This just fucking happened. I mean, this... All right, we need to fucking arm ourselves for real. At this point, this shit just happened. These motherfuckers are losing their fucking minds at this point. Okay, I'm going to play the rest of it. I'm just hearing this, and this cop sounds hysterical. These fucking psycho race soldiers... He sounds out of it. Y'all need to just strap the fuck up at this point, dude. Because these are not cops no more. This just happened. Good freaking grief, man.
ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Just keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. Please don't tell me that he's gone.
And the
Please,
cop,
officer, don't.
The cop is, the brother is, he's sitting there with a gun wound. The cop got the gun pointed it at the dude's head. The sister, shout out to her for being calm. Because, see, the cop is trying to escalate it. This sister is on code. She's filming everything and she's calm so they don't lie on her.
Tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
Get the female passenger out.
Ma'am, exit the car right now with your hands up. Let me see your hands. Exit now. Keep them up. Keep them up.
Face Where's my daughter? You got my daughter?
Face away from me and walk backwards. Walk backwards towards me. Keep
walk
walking.
Backwards. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking. Get on your knees. Get on your knees.
They got a goddamn child. And this just happened.
You're just being detained right now until we get this all sorted out, okay?
They threw my phone, Facebook. Please don't tell me, Lord Jesus.
And she was filming live on Facebook. Okay, so this, you can't see that much, but she was filming live on Facebook. That's insane. This is a straight up race. This has already been a race war. It's just basically these motherfuckers have just, the race soldiers are insane at this point. The race soldiers are just absolutely insane. I'm going to go check this story out. But this just happened. This was in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. And I hope the brother survives. The sister did the right thing by staying calm. There was a kid. Dude, black folks, if you're listening, melanoid people, you are under full attack at this moment. You are under full attack. The race, we've played around with this shit long enough. They're not even playing no more. It's just wide open season. Anybody is a target right now. If you get pulled over at this point, if you see some red and blue lights, the possibility of you not making it out alive is very high. That's where we are right now. I hope dude is okay. but these race soldiers are escalating the white supremacist-run Nazi race war at this point. This shit is getting absolutely ridiculous at this point. Anyway, y'all, I'm going to look more into this story and see what's happening. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Let me get a couple of more calls. Anybody in Minnesota know about this situation before I go? Let me get one more call just in case somebody knows about this. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what's going on, Tariq? This is Trail, man, calling from New Orleans.
Okay, I'm going to have you call back on next show, brother. I wanted somebody from Minnesota to call up, but we'll be here all night. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here, family. Follow me on Twitter because I'm going to be talking about this thing all night on Twitter. I'm going to be posting links about this new case. Y'all have a good one, fam.